Bruce. Oma after the new year in mid-April, and for the year we give a talk which lays out the coming year and the important goals we have in mind. We'll be able to be keen on planning. So previously we did that on his birthday, January 5th, but decided a better time for it is right after the new year in mid-April. This is our first one on the new date. So we call it, the annual talk is called State of the Church, this one, 2007. So, being mid-April, it will cover mid-April through mid-April. And today, as I mentioned, I was very keen on planning, encouraged all families to have a plan for a few years into the future and to update their plan once a year. He suggested this time of year is the perfect time of year to update your plan. Astrology is such that it's a natural time to think ahead and to plan the major aspects of your life, not all the details, but a few things in each major category of your life. So in terms of what we're doing here at the monastery, been working hard on a booklet on the 12 Shum Mamsani. For those of you who don't know, a Mamsani is a basic meditation map created by Gurudeva. It just has a couple of words in it. It's not complicated. A few words in the language he created for meditation, which is the Shum language. And just to make sure we didn't forget these 12 meditation maps, he had them carved into the pillars of Yerevan Temple. So we'll be staring at us for the lifetime of Yerevan Temple, which is projected at 1,000 years, and gives it a guaranteed future. So the booklet has a little more than just the 12 Mamsani, as in it also the story of Shum, which is Gurudeva's personal narrative of how Shum came to be. In 1968, when Gurudeva discovered the Shum language. As in the Advaitin, which is the book Gurudeva was writing, which catalyzed him to discover the Shum language, because he realized trying to explain all of these concepts in English was impossible. The idea is that any technical subject develops a specialized vocabulary. Computers are a good example. All the words, the computers, weren't around 50 years ago. It's developed a huge vocabulary of terms to enable everyone to be precise regarding computers. So Gurudeva felt that no language did that for meditation. He tried Sanskrit for a while, but found that it was really very broad in its terms. You take a concept like jyoti or light in Sanskrit, it had no precise meaning. It was very broad. So he decided to discover his own language, which is called the Shum language. There's a section on awareness and consciousness. It has a simple version of the preparation for meditation, short explanation of each of the seven dimensions of the mind, description of the seven chakras and the corresponding Shum words, and the first 18 images of the Shum alphabet along with its color. What is it, some 90 pages right now? So when you lay it out, except about 90 pages of material. So it's a very good introductory study. So what we're trying to do is tie everything together in a mystical way so that we're all meditating on the same general topics every month. So these are simple meditations in their original form, and so in that way, they're ideal for pilgrims who come here to practice, and there's one for each month of the year. But we also have two other versions, one for members who are signed up for the Shum study, and then another one for monks, which has quite a few advanced words just for monks. So they all tie together to the same Mamsani, but each one's quite different. So the versions for the members and the monks are just computer files, PDF files in the computer, you know, printing them out, sending them around the email. So it has typical lesson has the Monsani, where there was Basti on the Monsani, his commentary, has definitions of all the words in the Monsani. Then it has some Shum script practice to encourage us to learn, those of us who don't know, the additional 36 letters, letters 73 through 108, some script practice to get us up to speed on 108 letters. And it has a general exercise, has suggestions for the preparation for meditation, and then it has a meditation that's in some way related to the Monsani. Depends on the Monsani how it works, because some of them are very profound meditations in themselves, and others don't really have a lot of material right in the Monsani that you can meditate on and extrapolate out from it. So we've been working on that, and it started it. All 12 of the lessons, Shum lessons, are written, ready to be issued for the next year. And we're also developing the same material as Satsanga for teaching classes on it. So it'll be the subject matter of the Inner Search double study program. In January 2008, we'll have 12 classes, one for each of the Monsani. So I'm working on those still. But still, it's the earliest we've prepared a study program for an Inner Search. It sets a record. Usually that's the last thing you do. But you have to stay up the night before and print it all out. But I don't know about the printing. I can't guarantee when it'll be printed, but certainly it's going to be written in a month or two. And we're also drawing on some of this material for a weekend retreat in Northern California at the end of May, Memorial Day weekend retreat. There's four classes by me, and so I'll draw on the material for that. So we're going to make good use of it and energize the Monsani this year very finely, as well as keep it going in future years. So in other areas, Saivite Hindu Religion's children's course, book 4, was printed recently in Malaysia, and we just got a few copies in the mail. It's our first one that's done in color on the inside. That's color photographs and color paintings, and much more refined publication than books 1, 2, and 3. We also have copies of books 1 and 2 that have been redone. The artwork was upgraded by Mani Lilu in Chennai. And so, along with the book 3, which we had printed in the U.S. About 3 years ago, we now have new versions of books 1 through 4 of the Saivite Hindu Religion course ready to go. And books 5 and 6 are still in the writing and editing stage. So there's been some more effort to get them done, and we'll have all 6 books in that series in the near future. Something we started a year ago was the digital edition of Hinduism Today magazine. Started with the April 2006 issue, so April 2007 is online, so we created 5 quarterly issues so far of the digital magazine. And within a year, we've managed to go from 0 subscribers to the digital edition to 5,700. And that's about 500 subscribers a month are signing up. So Dear Swami would like to say verified subscribers. Sometimes we get some, as anyone does who has a website, we get some people signing up on forms that are not serious about it. But we have 5,700 verified subscribers, and a pleasant surprise to all of us was this country with the second largest number of subscriptions is India. You know, wouldn't have thought that, right? In terms of digital edition, you tend to think of India as, those of you who are familiar with India's phone system, you think technologically it's lagging. But somehow when it comes to the internet, I guess because it's such a major source of income, they're not lagging. So internet connection connections, more common in India, faster internet connections than you might think, and getting even more so. So we're very encouraged by the number of subscribers in India without any advertising at all, and we do want to focus sometime during this coming year on promoting the digital edition more in India so that people know it's available. We should significantly increase the number of subscribers by doing that. Important accomplishment that happened in the last few months is our new book, What is Hinduism, arrived here, and we've started promoting it. Most of you are familiar with it. It assembles parts of Hinduism today, the center section, which we call the Educational Insight section. 46 of them, in other words, we drew from 46 different magazines, took the Insight section and assembled it all together in one book. So it's definitely easier than coming through 46 magazines. Tend to fall apart after 10, 15 years, some of the older ones. So it's a very valuable resource, and it's already gaining some interest and popularity. So in order to promote it, we've developed a half-day seminar based on it, and this utilizes the Apple computer Keynote, which is the Apple equivalent of PowerPoint, which is the common name. So we're able to project up on the screen a number of slides. How many slides do we have? 260 slides with commentary. It's 2.5 hours of solid material. Let's keep going. There's a break in the middle, half an hour break. So it's an hour and a half, half an hour break, and an hour with the general plans. 3-hour seminar, like from 9 to 12, based on it. We call this session one because we plan to develop two more sessions or two more parts. So it'll be a 3-part series altogether, and it'll be a perennial. In other words, it's not going to become outdated. It'll be useful every year, as long as the book isn't significantly modified. It'll go right along with the book and promote it. So, both things going together is a good combination. You get the seminar, and then someone can buy the book and recall the information home, because the biggest challenge is retention. Everyone understands a lot during the seminar, but then it goes away quickly. It's impossible to take through and know. So if you're able to buy the book, which contains everything that you said, plus more, it's an excellent combination for teaching. And one of the things we found about these kinds of seminars with the digital presentations are that they're very effective in helping the seminar participants focus on the material. It gives them something to look at. I was very impressed in Singapore. We had a full-day seminar. And it's very hard to have the same amount of attention in the afternoon, after everyone's eaten lunch and so forth. Hot climate, you feel sleepy. But we were going, and we were going late. We were supposed to stop around 5, and we were still going at 5:30. But everyone was very attentive, totally focused on the screen. No one was nodding off or half there. And why was that? Because they had something to watch. Because they could see something, it helped them stay attentive. It's easier to concentrate. And you have something to look at. And that's why, as far as I can remember, school teachers have always used blackboards. You put something up on the blackboard, and then students can follow it better. So in the realm of inner search and retreat programs, as I mentioned, we have a weekend retreat coming up this Memorial Day in Northern California. And our major program, of course, is the 3-week 2008 Asian Odyssey to Cambodia, Malaysia, and South India, which is January 2008. So we have a variety of experiences planned in that program, from history, going to Angkor Wat Temple in Cambodia. That'll be very interesting. Pretty grand scale they built temples on back then. Going to Thai Pusam at Batu Caves in Malaysia, and a little intimate gathering with 1 million people. So, you know, we thought it's good for those who are used to Hinduism on a small scale to see it on a grand scale. In other words, if they're used to Hinduism in North America, for example, or Europe, or Australia, you never see a million people gather and worship. So it's a wonderful experience to participate in something like that. It gives you a sense of the scale of Hinduism. Hinduism does have the biggest religious gathering on the planet, is Kumbh Mela. So we like to do things on a grand scale, as well as intimate scale. Then we have some important temples in Tamil Nadu, and we'll have some quality time there. We promise not to rush in and out. For taking our time and getting special pujas arranged. So we're going to, for example, Rameshwaram, Kirishambur temples. And we have two class times, quiet times. The first is on Langkawi Island in Malaysia, and the second is in Kovalam, Kerala, India. And we started promoting this program early, and we have a record number of enrollees already. How many do we have? 39 individuals have signed up already in the program. That's quite a lot. The last program we took, what, 90 to India? I mean, we never know how many to take, but that's roughly we have almost half of a normal sized group to India signed up already. And in terms of travel, our first major trip of the year is today, and I'm not going. Five-week trip, marathon trip to Indian Rishis, Paramacharya Palaniswami, and Nandanada are going. Mauritius, the program is mainly with the members and students there, are giving a half-day seminar, a public talk on the first Sunday of the month. Mauritius, we have a public Homa, which attracts, at this point, at least 1,000 people. Every Sunday come and cause their parking havoc in the neighborhood, but no one cares in Mauritius. So on Ganesha Chaturthi, get over 5,000 people throughout the day, not all at one time. People keep coming all throughout the day. So somewhere between 1 and 5,000 people is the number that come for the special Homas there. So with Palaniswami and Jivananda there, they'll probably get 1,500 people at least for that event. Some satsangs in members' homes and a few public talks at temples. In India, the time is mostly project-oriented and includes important meetings to advance the Erlan temple carving and various publication and video projects. Palaniswami has lined up appointments for all throughout North, Middle and South India. So that's going to be a grand trip, which departs this afternoon. At what time? 3. Leaving here at 3 this afternoon. In terms of my trips, we're going to Flint, Michigan. It's about a week from now. I better look at the date. For Hindu Temple Council of North America, regional temple council in the U.S., originally formed by the Ganesha Temple in New York. So normally we don't go, but they insisted, kept calling and calling, saying, you have to come, you have to come. So they want to give us an award for our efforts in promoting Hinduism, which of course should go to Gurudeva, but we'll take it on his behalf. So just a weekend event there in Flint. They have a Shiva temple, Shivalingam temple. End of May is our Memorial Day weekend retreat in Northern California. And the next scheduled trip is in July. We're making a short trip. It's only about a week long to Singapore and Malaysia. I'm a short version this year. So I have a seminar on Saturday in Singapore, and I have a seminar Sunday in Malaysia. Satsangs around now. And then in October, middle of October, we have our standard program. We go to Southern California for a reception on Saturday and Northern California for a reception on Sunday, and send out invitations to a larger list of devotees to meet them, share with them what we're doing. So, of course, at the Adinam, our main activity continues to be the Erevan temple jointing. We have all the pillars except two up, right? Have you noticed? And those two are not up on purpose because they need to do certain things. Once we put them up, we can't get the forklift or the bobcat or both in. Can't get them inside anymore. Both of them inside. So as soon as we put up those pillars, it'll block. It's too narrow for equipment to drive in. So we need to use the equipment inside and do various things with the equipment, and then once that's all done, we can put up the final two pillars. That's why that hasn't gone up. Silpis have been keeping busy with ornamentation of the sanctum. Fine designs that Prabhupada Selvanathan came here and laid out for them to do. The refinements going all around the outside of the sanctum at various course levels. A lot more refined and developed. And then across the river, we have some land that keeps us busy, 400 acres over there, agricultural activities. And our major focus is on trees. So we're continuing to plant trees for windbreaks, fruit production, and hardwood over there. So it's coming along well, 400 acres altogether of former sugarcane land, which takes forever to functioning in something else. We've been working at it. How many years now have we been working? 5 or 6 years we've been working at it. How many acres do we have in decent shape? However you want to define it. Large piece of land, and you see it open like that. It's pretty impressive. It's going and going and going. So it's coming along. We don't have the best soil, nor do we have much potential for irrigation. So the crop that grows the best is anything that's off the ground, tree form. You form a tree and then you do really well with it and don't mind the soil or the lack of irrigation. Or sometimes we get a lot of rain too. So that gives you a sense of some of the things that are happening over the next few weeks.